For years, Kristen Kaufman was an executive in the Fortune 500 world. She held senior positions at Hewlett-Packard and United Health Group. In 2007, she left that world to start her own company, Alignment Incorporated. That company is designed to help individuals and companies take better advantage of their skills. And she also began writing a series of books. The first was titled, Is This Seat Taken? Random Encounters That Change Your Life. It was a book about being open to conversations and experiences and how those experiences can provide chances to improve one's life or at least become happier. Her second book, just released, is titled Is This Seat Taken? It's never too late to find the right seat. It's devoted to stories of 15 people who found their passion for life well past the age of 50. Kaufman is an alum of the University of Arkansas. She's also a native of the state, and she makes frequent trips back to Arkansas. This week, she was in Northwest Arkansas, and during her visit, she came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio.
Especially in the line of work that I'm in, I meet people all the time that they've hit 50 or 55. They haven't made their quote-unquote 2 to 5 million, whatever it is that they think they need to make. And they think, man, I have really blown it. Because they look to the left and they look to the right, which people do, and there are people that have achieved much more than they. So they do that, the infamous comparative challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And they think, man, I've lost it. And I'm here to say no. Everyone I wrote about literally did not start until very late in life, in some cases past the age of 80.
Past the age of 80.
Yes.
For years, the name Grandma Moses was kind of this totem for someone who could discover something about themselves past.
Yes.
You know, she didn't start painting, I don't know, maybe.
87.
Okay. And while she was used as an example, she was the only one that was often used as an example.
Yes.
So, but what you have here in this book are several examples.
Yes, 15. And you're right. Grandma Moses is the consummate example. But, you know, her story is more than just a late-in-life example. You know, she was a housekeeper. She married. She had 10 children, whom she buried every one of them. Hmm. All 10 of her children. She buried all of her siblings and her husband. And she picked up a paintbrush for the first time at 87. And she did so because she had arthritis so bad that she could no longer hold her needlepoint needle that she loved. That was her creative expression. And so her only surviving daughter said, Mom, why don't you try putting a paintbrush in between your knuckles because it's thicker in diameter and you can hold it. And that's how she began painting at 87. Amazing. And then the other people I wrote about, the same thing. Very late in life. Laura Ingalls Wilder is one that I get tickled thinking about because she was my favorite author when I was growing up. I must have thought that she wrote those books, the Little House on the Prairie books, when she was a little girl.
Well, because we meet her
with Melissa Gilbert.
In the pages,
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we meet her with Melissa Gilbert and Michael Landon on television, and we think, oh, she must have written that in her diary because it's narrated as a little girl. She was old when she started. 67 was when she wrote her first book, and she did so, and most of the stories are the same, they did so because they were destitute or they had lost something tremendous. In the case of Grandma Moses, she lost the ability to hold her pen. In the case of Laura Ingalls Wilder, she lost everything in the Great Depression.
Hmm. These 15 stories of people who later in life, what we consider later in life, kind of define themselves. What can readers take from these? Because it's easy to read about Grandma Moses or Colonel Sanders or Frank McCord and Angela's Ashes, but think you can still think, well, but that's not me.
Yes.
I can't write, or I've tried to paint and I can't paint.
Yes. Well, there are a couple of things, and before I tell you what they are, I will tell you there are a couple of stories about people that are what I would call anonymous people. These are not all famous people. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of women that I wrote about that I actually met in the last 5 years of my life. One, Dorothy Wynn, is an absolutely astounding person who came up from a horrible, challenging upbringing, molestation, poverty. She pulled herself up by her bootstraps and created a path for herself in business. And then awakened very late in life and said, you know, this isn't really what I want to do. And she decided she wanted to become a hospice chaplain. So what she's doing now and how she is impacting the world and how she defines success, which is one of the things I'm going to talk about, is not through wealth creation or fame or notoriety. It's through her ability to contribute in a way that is of meaning to her. So that's the first thing. What people can glean is that define success on your own terms. It does not have to be wealth creation and names on building and square footage of a house and a fancy car. It can be how you're contributing in what I would call a heavenly measure, not an earthly measure, just like Dorothy Wynne is doing. And she is fulfilled. She is contributing in a way that makes her heart sing. And it just doesn't get much better than that. And she learned that about herself very late in life. She's over the age of 65.
What if someone says, but I don't know. She discovered that she wanted to be a hospice chaplain. Something, some incidents, some revelations for her made her realize that.
Yes.
There might be some people who say, I still don't know what it is that I have a passion for.
And that's okay. You know, I have a small chapter in the book where I talk about my near-death experience where I had a couple of very severe illnesses. And I remember after one of my surgeries, I looked up at my dad and I was a corporate executive and I thought, oh, you know, I'm contributing, but I wasn't really fulfilled. And I remember looking at dad and saying, Dad, I really want to know what my purpose is. And without ever missing a beat, my dad said, you have one. Otherwise, you'd be dead. Hmm. It was just so, you know, somewhat crass, but yet very, it was a smack. And that's what I would
say. Putting responsibility on you.
Absolutely. And so what I would say is, listen to what makes your heart sing. Give yourself permission to color outside the lines. Oftentimes we think that we have to do what we think we're supposed to do, what society says we're supposed to do, or someone in our life says we're supposed to do. And maybe that is a choice that we make on our path, but it may not be the ultimate choice. So listen to what it is that makes your heart sing. I mean, I jumped off the high board from corporate America to start my own business a little over 8 years ago, and I had people thinking I had completely lost my mind.
Anyone try to talk you out of it?
Absolutely. I think people are still trying to talk me out of it. But you know what? I've never been more fulfilled. I feel like that right now I'm absolutely aligned, to use the word, you know, of my company. Mm-hmm. And that means to me loving what you do, being good at it, most importantly, having it tied to something greater than yourself. And when it's tied to something greater than yourself, you don't burn out. You have a continual energy source of how you want to contribute and show up.
But it sounds to some degree you're saying, think about eliminating clutter, not physical clutter, but maybe emotional or mental clutter.
That's a great way to put it. I had never thought of it that way. But yes, just getting clear on what it is and how it is that you want to contribute in the world. And when I do keynotes around the country, people ask me, you know, how do I do that? Because I have so much noise on the line, you know, because we do have so much noise on the line. And I say, carve out 30 minutes a day where you're just quiet. And that could be where you're in the car and you just turn off the radio. You know, that could be that you are taking a walk in the morning and listening to the birds. Get in touch with yourself. It's so easy to let the noise in our lives drown out our inner voice.
Is part of this being grateful, realizing that maybe you are stressed, but you have things that other people don't? And that might be basic things. Shelter. You know that your family will be fed tomorrow. And there are a lot of people that don't have that.
Yes. I love that you said that. I think gratitude is probably one of the highest energy vibrations that we can reverberate to.
And makes you more empathetic, right?
It totally does. And I do think loving your life and being grateful for what you have does nothing but perpetuate more of that. So, you know, you mentioned a minute ago people were trying to talk me out of going back into leaving corporate America and possibly getting back into it. And I have that happen all the time. And I look at those individuals and say, I love my life. I love everything about my life. And my life is not necessarily the road most traveled. I have never married. Or I haven't married yet. I don't have children. I wasn't able to have children. I'm not checking in and checking out of a corporate job, making, you know, millions of dollars any longer. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm a single woman. And I love every aspect of that life.
This is getting off subject, so forgive me. But do you ever think about the fact that you're a single woman in middle age? But if this were 40 or 50 years ago, those doors might not be open for you.
Yes, absolutely. And that, again, is one of the reasons why so many of the stories in this book are so admirable. Think about when Anna Mary, you know, Grandma Moses, Laura Ingalls Wilder, think about it when they were branching off and doing their things. It was definitely not popular to do that sort of thing, right? And so it's very admirable to read about these individuals who have made that choice. So yes, it's much easier for us now in the year 2015 to make the choices that we're making. And we owe a debt of gratitude to our predecessors, especially the female predecessors, for carving that way for us.
Is it an intended consequence that it helps eradicate or reduce ageism?
Oh, I love that. You know, again, it wasn't really my intention. I think in my foreword, I do talk about the baby boomer generation and how, frankly, so many of the people that I work with in my company, Alignment Inc., they have been laid off because they hit 55 or 60. They may have been sick, so they had a load on their group health insurance plan. And before you know it, they've been riffed. And here they are. They don't have enough money to retire the way they want. They're not really sure what they can do. And I'm trying to say, guys, look, you can do anything you want to do. It depends upon how badly you want to do it. It comes down to making a decision and a choice. So, yes, I think a byproduct of this book hopefully will be to say, you know, we're going to all live to be 100. So we have, if corporate America doesn't embrace that and we get, quote unquote, laid off at age 60, you're going to have at least another 30 to 35 years to contribute into the world the way in which you choose.
And I'm also thinking of people who might be the old saws, old is defined as 15 years older than you are.
So maybe I love people, that.
So maybe people who, if they pick this up and they're in their 20s or 30s and are thinking that someone in 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond has lesser value, even if they don't think that consciously.
Yes.
But there is that stereotype that this might reduce that.
Yes.
Well, people have a lot to give as long as they're here.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as Dad says, you know, if you're still here, you have a purpose, right? But, you know, it's interesting. When I wrote this book, I did not intend it to be for the younger generation, but I have many people who are buying this book as graduation gifts because they're wanting those graduates to realize that, you know, you're in it for the long haul. Nothing's permanent. You could choose a career for the first part of your life and choose a different career for the second part of your life. You know, that it's a journey, to use the cliche of our generation, but it is. Nothing's permanent. We can turn right and we can turn left just as easily as we can go straight.
There's a scene in the movie Up in the Air, which is about people getting laid off and many people in their 50s and 60s. The scene I'm thinking of is the young woman played by Anna Kendrick, who's a young woman in her early to mid-20s, and she's explaining to George Clooney what she had envisioned for her life. Her husband was going to have a single-syllable name. They were going to have this kind of car, a yellow lab. They were going to do this. She had it all figured out. And then suddenly she finds out it doesn't work out like that.
Right.
So perhaps the earlier you realize.
Yeah, to just embrace your life. Just embrace it. There are no accidents. Things happen to us for a reason. You know, when I do my keynotes, I have a phrase that I like to end with. I believe, as sure as I'm sitting here, much like Oprah Winfrey says, what I know for sure, one thing I believe for sure is that we're here to learn from one another, we're here to teach one another, and we're here to serve. And the glue that holds it all together is love. And if we just embrace that, how we show up vocationally is somewhat irrelevant, right? It's relevant, but it's not the deciding factor. It all comes down to how we embrace the experiences that are put in our path.
When you give these keynotes, you're in front of a lot of people at times,
yes,
right?
Yes, 50,000.
Okay, that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You think you're connecting with a lot of them?
Yes. Just not too long ago, I was doing a keynote, and I have a story that I tell from my first book, and it's about a little girl named Kristen who ironically had the same name as me, and I think that was how the universe pulled me into having a dialogue with her. And she was she had cancer, and she was at the Ronald McDonald House. And this little 10-minute exchange that we had, I weave a story around that. And I was sharing this story with this group of primarily men. It was with a very large financial institution, all primarily left-brain, white-collar businessmen. And I thought, all of a sudden, these men started getting up, and I thought, oh, I'm losing them. I'm losing them, you know. Well, after I closed, I went outside, and there was a line to get the book. And I said, I thought I was losing people. They said, no, people were losing their control. Mm. They were emotional. It hit a chord, you know. And so, yes, I do think I connect with people. And it's not so much me connecting. It's the stories of the people that have crossed my path that I'm telling that are truly connecting with these people. Because we've all had experiences like that.
This book is titled, Is This Seat Taken? It's Never Too Late to Find the Right Seat. No pressure, but do you know what's next?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I have two books. Again, this is all divine providence playing out for me, because originally I did not think I was going to have a series of books. But the third book in this series is going to be entitled, Is This Seat Taken? No, I've Saved It For You. And it will be a collection of stories of people that come into my life or have come into my life that become main players. Mm-hmm. So they may be random, you know, quote unquote, and yet they become truly influential. It could be professors. It could be my first dance teacher as a little girl. But there will be a collection of stories and, again, the wisdom that they bestowed upon me and hopefully my reader. And then the fourth book in the series, and this title actually came from my mother. I thought it was priceless. Is The Seat Taken? Yes.
Oh.
And it's all about basically creating boundaries and when you need to say no.
Kristen Kaufman is the founder of Alignment Incorporated and a writer. Her latest book is titled, Is This Seat Taken? It's Never Too Late to Find the Right Seat. She was in Northwest Arkansas earlier this week. You can find out more at her website, kristenkaufman.com.